Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
We've been talking about seeking God with your whole heart. When you seek God, God just don't want part of you. He wants all of you. He's a jealous God. He don't want to share you with the world. He doesn't want to share you with anything, anyone. He wants all of you. And I'm talking about seeking Him for who He is. Well, let's just dig into this. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And the thing about one of the benefits, I was going to talk about the benefits of seeking God. But one of the main benefits of seeking God, it'll keep your heart soft towards Him. Amen. And there's a lot of scriptures about that. I won't be able to get into most of those, but it's something about seeking God. It does something to your heart. It breaks up the body. There's a scripture that talks about break up the hard ground, the uncultivated ground. Then it goes on to say, it is time to seek the Lord. In other words, to break up the hard ground, you have to seek the Lord. There's something about you get in His presence, you get in His Word, things start to break off, things start to... Look, listen, the Bible talks about the good ground, right? Good ground is the person who seeks God. Good ground is a person who pursues the things of God. He's not slack. The Bible talks about don't be slothful, but be aglow, burning with the Spirit. Seeking the things of God. See, that's what it's about. It's an adventure. It's not some boring, dried storybook we're talking about. It is an adventure of faith, and you're going to have to do it by faith. Don't get your feelings involved in this. It's not about your feelings. It's about the Word of God and giving God's first place in your life. So in chapter 11, verse 6, we'll kind of jump into this. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So it sounds like faith is a pretty important subject. Because it says it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe. Here we go. Must believe, number one, that He is, in other words, that He exists, and that He is, you got to remember, not going to be, He is. He is a rewarder of those who diligently, not just part-time, not just when you're feel like it. He's talking about going after it. He says, seeking, diligently seek Him. Let me say this up front. The moment, listen up, the moment you stop, and this sounds kind of hard, but the moment you stop is the moment you'll start to drift. You will drift, and not, here's the thing, you know, and you won't even know it. It's a shift in position. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to drift. It's not all that important. If I can make it to church, I got a busy life, You're drifting. It's a drift. You're just going with the current. You're going with the current of this world. The Bible talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's what the world has to offer you. And if you don't watch it, you just drift along with it. And you think everything's all right. But really, if you look at your life, how much time have you spent in the Word? How much time have you spent seeking God, His plans for your life? And the list goes on. Amen. See, what it is you drift because you do nothing. Amen. It's your idol. You're no longer seeking. You're no longer hot for the things of God. You're just doing what the thing does, what the world's doing. I just flow with it. Saints, that's the wrong direction. To seek Him, you're going to have to fight upstream. You have to fight the good fight of faith. See, I'm talking about when you're seeking God, I'm not talking about, you're not, I'm not saying you're not have problems. But the problems will be so little and insignificant. Why? Because you cast all your problems upon Him. Because you're a doer of the Word. You're seeking God. You're in His Word. You're doing what the Word says. So you, things will work out for you. It may not look like they're working out for you, but if you stick with the Word, it will work for you. Now, He's already warned them, and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, because He's already warned them about the drifting. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. See, He's talking about being a doer. We listen, and what do? We do. We hear and we do. That's a hear. That's what we do. That's good ground. A person who is good ground is constantly hearing the Word. Meditation in the Word. You're constantly rehearsing the Word. See, the Bible talks about meditation. The Word of God shall be in your mouth day and night. And meditation. Why? You cannot study the Word 24/7, but you can meditate. Amen. Even on your job, you can meditate. Whatever you're doing, you can meditate in the Word. You let your imagination go. Amen. On the Word of God. And Pastor Mark talked about the other day, as a man thinketh in his heart. See, that's from meditation. It drops down into your heart. Now you start releasing words of faith. Why? Because it's out of the heart. But you first had to think upon those things. You first had to meditate upon those things. And that's exactly, saints, you can stop the drifting in your life. You may say, well, right now I'm not in a good place. You can change it. And we're going to look at this. You can change your directions just like that. But you have to do what the Word says. Amen. Now, let's see. Turn with me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Pastor Mark was there. Matthew chapter 6. We have to get our priorities in line. Yes, we have priorities on this earth. Yes, obviously. But you don't want it to be your number one priority, right? In other words, the honey-do list isn't my number one priority. Ouch. Seeking. Well, I mean, let's get into this. But seek, verse 31. But seek, now you can't miss this. This is pretty plain, right? It says here, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Now, isn't that interesting? What is He talking about? Priorities. Your number one priority in life is seeking Him, seeking the kingdom of God, His righteousness. Saints, don't put anything else out in front of that. If you put Him first, this is a promise. You put Him first, all these other things supernaturally will be taken care of. Amen. He promises that too. That's a promise. But see, your flesh doesn't want to do that. It will find out, I got to do this thing. You know what? I'm going to have to get another job. I'm going to have two jobs. I'm going to have three jobs. Hold it now. What are you putting your trust in? Is He should be first in line. If you're a tither and a giver, there's promises for that. You need to start looking what the Word says. You're doing, if you're a tither, my goodness, the windows of heaven are open to you. I mean, but, see, that's why you got to do this all by faith, because if you start looking at the thing, see, He said He'll add the thing to you, but if you start looking at the thing and trying to figure out how to get the thing, you miss the whole point. It's so simple that you can miss it. It says seek first. And that's what we're talking about, seeking Him. He has to be first in line. First. And if we'll seek Him first, we have some promises that we can take hold of. Turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And we know this. Verse 10, it says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall... Let's stop right there. Those who seek the Lord. Now, those, that's us. But here's the thing. What are those? What are we doing? Well, you got to back up to verse 8. This is what we're doing. We got things in order. First of all, it says, verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, what does that mean? It's talking about, number one, feeding on the Word. I got written in my Bible. This is Psalm 119, 103. David said this. David said, how sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. So what is a person who's seeking the Lord? He first has the Word. He's seeking the Word. What does God have to say about it? His focus is on the Word. Let's go on. Then it goes on to say, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Well, why does he trust in the Lord? Because he's got the Word. You're feeding on the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Daily. We live at daily. See, this is what separates the casual from the one who is pursuing. We're seeking God daily in His Word. We're seeking God in prayer. We're seeking Him, His will. That's food. That's for the inner man and for the renewing of your mind. Right. Saints, you're going to have it in these last days. You can't trust in the Lord if you don't know Him. Amen. Trust comes from knowing Him. So you got to get this in order. We put the Word first so that we can know Him, the fellowship with Him. Then it goes on to trust Him. Then it goes on. He's not done. Verse 9. Oh, fear, what's it mean? Reverence. Oh, reverence the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who reverence Him. So you're getting a picture here. We're focusing on the Word. We trust in Him. And now He talks about reverence. What's reverence? Reverence is worship. It's praise. It's giving thanks. Other words, you're living a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle giving reverence to Him. See, Bible talks about we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. I think it's John 4, 23, 24. Then it goes on to say, for God seeketh. Who's He seek? Those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's seeking for people that will look to Him and give Him reverence. Now here it is. Where did it all start from? It all started from the Word. Focusing on the Word, being a doer of the Word, giving Him reverence. See, now, let's go back to verse 10. Then what happens? Verse 10, it says, those who seek the Lord by doing those things we just talked about shall not lack any good thing. There we got that thing again. Well, we got that thing. What's the thing? It says good thing. A good thing for you. Could be a spouse. It could be a job. It could be prosperity. Good thing. Land. You're believing God for land. See, all these things come into play. It's according to you. It's what good thing you need. You have not lacked that good thing. So is it important to seek God? Is it important to give Him first place if you want the good thing? If you see, here's the thing. I'm not, it's more of a rest. I'm not working up a sweat. I'm not trying to work jobs and trying to figure this out. No, I'm resting because I'm trusting. I'm giving Him reverence. He's working things out for me. In other words, He's adding the thing to me. I'm not in panic. I'm not all upset. No, I'm at rest because He's working all this stuff out. Because I got things in line, things in proper order. Amen. Seek first. He'll take care of you. Amen. See, that's the whole point. God wants to take care of His own children. He wants to take care of you. He takes pleasure. He says, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's already given us all things to enjoy. So if we'll just follow the protocol that He's laid out in the Word, put Him first, it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So we have to set our mind to do what He says to do. Set it. Our priorities has to be set. Now turn with me to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 26. And this is about a King Uzziah. Verse 5. We'll go with verse 5. Let me get a drink. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Now I'm going to read the first part here in verse 5 out of the Amplified Bible. And it says, this is Uzziah. It says, he set, now get this, he set himself to seek God. Now hold it now. It says he set. Other words, that word set means to fix. It means to set in order. Is that what we're talking about? To set in order. To do what? To seek. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had an understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought God, God prospered him. You get that? He set himself, got things in order, seeking God, and God, who's doing it? God's doing it. The only thing he's doing is seeking God. It takes the pressure off you. You seek God, and he starts adding things to you. You're relaxed. You're in rest. You're not uptight about it. Man, you're having a good time. Faith. That's why faith is so important. Faith is a rest. So he's seeking God. Man, he's not all uptight. He's not up. Listen, and you start seeing the results. You get things in right order, and things start working out. Verse 20, again, verse 25, the end of it. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now, what does that look like? If you go on down to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all the way down to until 16, all down through there, what's he doing? He's building cities, towers. He's growing. His fame is growing far and wide. I mean, he's coming. He's became extremely strong. I mean, the guy had it going. God was doing the work. In other words, you could say this, the blessing was on him. Why is that? Because he made a decision to set himself to seek the Lord. I'm telling you, this guy had it going. He had it going. I mean, it's almost unbelievable what the Lord was doing. But is that a hard thing for God? It's not a hard thing for God. If you let him work, if you allow him to shepherd you, it's not a hard thing for him. But in verse 16, something happened. Verse 16, it stops. Why? Because he's no longer seeking. Verse 16, it says this, but when he was strong, who was strong? He. Instead of the Lord. See, he forgot something. He forgot Deuteronomy chapter 8, that whole chapter basically. It is God who gives you the power to get wealth and to establish his covenant. He forgot about that and started looking to himself. That's when you get in trouble. Stop. You cannot look to yourself. You're not the one. Don't even think it. Don't entertain thoughts. I'm really something now. Do you see that car? Woo! Pride of life. It'll take you down. That's exactly what it says. It says, but when he is strong in his heart, lifted up to his destruction. So here it is. Listen up. Someplace in those between, before verse 16, someplace in there, he started drifting. Listen up. He started drifting. And the thing of it is, like I said before, he probably didn't even know it. It's a slow position change. Something shifted. Now, instead of seeking, now he's thinking he's doing something. I'm doing all this. I'm a famous man now. Things are coming to me. I'm doing some good things. It must be me, obviously, because no. He's no longer seeking. He's now drifting. He's drifting someplace in. Listen, it's not like he woke up one day and said, you know what? I'm just going to start doing some drifting. No one does that. No one in their right mind would do that. But the enemy is very crafty. He is very subtle. He'll make it so that you don't need to do all that. You can slack on that. You don't need to do all that praying. You know, God wants you to do some physical resting. All these things, see, it's very subtle. You don't need to be in church every time the doors open. See, now I'm not saying you should be in church. Listen, you be in church as much as you can, much as possible. The problem is, we in the Bible's in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about the people end up making it a habit. of not showing up. It becomes a habit of not reading my Bible. It becomes a habit. I don't spend time praying. It becomes a habit. Saints, I've seen it done. I've witnessed it. Family members, I've seen it. Don't think it can't happen to you. It can. That's why we have to be on guard. You're going to have to be vigilant. You have to be on top of this. We're living in these last days. We should be banging on those doors to get in here. I mean, the word's going forth. Don't take it lightly. And I'm not trying to get on anyone's shoes. I'm just, this is much for me as for anyone. But the seeking, he had it going, but he stopped and he started to drift. Now, this is basically what happened to, let's go back to James. We were there last time. And basically, this is what happened to the church, to the brethren that James is talking to. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, we talked about verses. Basically, last time we talked about verses 6, 7, and 8. It says, verse 6, it says, to humble yourself. Verse 7, it says, to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And verse 8 says, draw to God, and he will draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I love that. I love that scripture. But in this setting, in this context, he's calling the brethren back to fellowship. I know you probably haven't heard anyone talk quite like that. This church has major issues going on. What's going on? They drifted. Just go back to chapter 3. Just pick us up. Chapter 3, verse 14. What's he talking about? He's talking about if you have bitter envy, self-seeking, or he's talking about strife in your hearts, don't boast and lie about the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Verse 16. For where there's envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. They have strife going on. They have enviness going on. They got some issues going on. Because, listen, you got strife going on, it shuts down everything. Faith will not work. I don't care how much you're quoting. You could quote the Bible. You got strife operating in your life. Enviness, selfish ambitions. You're shutting down your faith. So a lot of people praying for healing, their prosperity, but on the other side of the coin, they got all these other stuff going on. Strife. Whatever it may be. Bitterness. Self-seeking ambitions. It's not working. So he goes on in chapter 4. He talks about chapter 4. He called them unfaithful in chapter 4, verse 4. They are unfaithful. What happened? They became friends with the world. Friendship. Actually, he says friendship with the world system. That's a problem. Why is that a problem? Because in the world you have lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're in friends in bed with the world. So he's calling them, now here it is, saints, he's calling them back into fellowship. How? Verse 6, this is what we talked about last time. It says, he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That is precious. He is calling them back into fellowship. Now get this. He says, draw nigh to God. Now notice the order he's going. Now we're going to go the rest of this. Catch this. Draw nigh to God. How do you draw nigh to God? You fellowship with Him. You've not the world. See, God's very jealous. He wants all of you. So He says, draw nigh to God. That means your Word. Spending time in the Word, the cleansing of the Word. Spending time in prayer and fasting. Yes, fasting's involved. That's part of it. So prayer is a big, praying in the Spirit. Reverence, worship, thanksgiving, and praise. Get back into fellowship. Then God responds. He draws close to you. Now, see the order? You're spending time with God. He comes close to you. Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit kicks in. Because now, He's going to ask them to do something. Because He's not done yet. So, after He says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. What's the first thing? He says, He goes, cleanse your hands. What does He mean by that? Let me back up just a little bit. So you're in fellowship with God. Now He's saying to do something. Because of your fellowship with Him, the Holy Spirit now will help you clean up your life. Clean up your actions. Why? Because God doesn't want you going back to the strife. All that does, it opens up the door to the enemy to mess things up for you. In other words, I heard one minister, it's probably E.W. Kenyon, but you open up doors to the enemy, he'll eat your lunch and pop the bag. We used to do that in elementary. To impress the girls, we finished our lunch, blow up the bag, and you know, that's the thing to do. Then you pop that bag because everyone's looking at you, drawing attention. But anyway, that's what the devil do. He'll pop your bag, and you're sitting there going, what happened? Well, he just popped your bag. Because why? Because you didn't clean things up. You left an opening for the enemy. Paul said, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's basically what he's saying here. You spend time in fellowship, drawing close to God, in other words, walking in the Spirit. Now you're equipped. The Holy Spirit's helping you. Bible says be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Now the Lord's helping you because you can't do it. You can't do it. Don't try to do it without Him. Put Him first. Then He'll equip you with the Holy Spirit. He'll help you. The helper, the comforter will help you clean things up in your life. He says to cleanse. To cleanse your hands, your actions, you sinners. He sounds pretty rough on them. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Other words, your motives, their heart motives. Clean them up. Why? Other words, let me put it this way. Purify your hearts, other words, don't submit to the devil. That's what they've been doing. They had it backwards. They submitted to the devil and resisted God. God said, no, you submit to me. You surrender to me. And then you resist the devil, right? And he'll flee from you. So You got to get that right. So you submit to God. Get things in order. Get it right. Then it'll line up your, you'll no longer be double-minded, but you'll be a single-minded person because you got things in order. Your actions, your attitude, your motives are right. Knowing that God is helping you and knowing that I'm not going back to the old lifestyle. I'm seeking God. I'm getting back on track. Listen, it's never too late, is it? Never too late. I don't care what you've done. It's never too late. You can get right back on. You can just make it about and leave the past behind. Repent and move on. But you don't want to redo what you shouldn't have done in the first place. Right? Does that make sense? E.W. Kenyon, I read a lot of his books. He talks about this. He called them babes. This letter is written to babes. What does babes do? What does babies do? They sleep, eat, and poop, and cry in between. And a lot of Christians are like that. We had all 12, or the little ones, the little ones, on Christmas. I love when all the grandkids get together. But man, Christmas Day, or was it Christmas Day? Man, they were pumping, man. They were pumped up on sugar, on the cookies and everything. Man, they were going. And I noticed, you know, you just kind of, they're moving too fast for me. But I noticed one of them, or something, was smelling bad. And one of them went by me, and I said, "That's the one." And I said, "Joanne, this one. And he's running. We got a runner. He stinketh. He needs to be changed. Of course, I don't do that. That's not my anointing. Joanne's more anointed to do that. But the babe, not, but this, but the little one needed to be changed. So that's what James is saying here. You stink. You need to be changed. In order to not to go back, but to go forward. In other words, continue to seek God. Continue to draw nigh to God. That's what we do. It is our lifestyle. Then he goes on. He finishes up in verse 11. He says, if I can find it. Oh, and do not speak evil of one another. Other words, he's talking about walking in love. Paul called it the law of Christ. In other words, love your neighbor as yourself. James talked about this also, I think, in the second chapter or first chapter. Walking in love. Don't be so judgmental. Because you start being judgmental, your faith is shut down. Well, I wouldn't do that. I can't believe they did that. You better leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Look at yourself. Judge yourself. Walk in love. Now I got this written down. The moment, of course, I said this before. The moment you stop seeking, you start drifting. You know, I'll close with this. We was in Carolinas. Oh, it goes back years ago. The kids were little. And we went to a beach in Carolina. And I went swimming out in the well, I don't call it swimming, but I waded out into the ocean. It's pretty big waves, it's a storm coming in. But I went out kind of a little deeper than what I should, knowing initially that I can't, I already knew in my mind, because I already heard stories about my older brother got caught in the undertow, the currents of the ocean. And it you know, so I heard stories about that. So I even had it in my mind, I cannot go very far out, Pastor Jerry. I got to stay kind of close. I don't want to drift off too far. But you know what? I ended up doing exactly what I didn't want to do because I wasn't paying attention. I went out way too deep. And I could feel, and I started to feel the under, I could feel the toe, I could feel it. Then I started looking to the shoreline, and I said, what is going on? I'm not, how did I get out this far? I am too far. Did not even know it. That's drifting. Saints, we got to live a life that's constantly drawing on God's resource, His supply, constantly drawing close to Him. Saints, you can get as close to God as you want. You want a close personal walk? It's there. But there is a price to pay. Your flesh will scream. Just like it does when you try to fast, it will scream. Well, I don't think we're living in a day of grace. I don't think we need to do that. Well, that's what the Word says. I don't, you know, some of these grace messages, I'm not sure where they're getting it from, but if you want to draw nigh to God, you're going to have to get in the Word. You're going to have to pray, study, meditate, be in church when you can. Don't make it a habit of missing. All these things are important. Reverence. Saints, we want everything God has. I don't want to leave this life. To me, the most important thing is seeking after the things of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is the most important thing. When you do that, you'll automatically be renewing your mind. When you do that, you'll live a surrendered life. When you do that, things will start coming to you. You see where I'm coming from? If we'll just do what the Word says, saints, we'll you'll come out ahead. Amen. God honor His Word. Amen. He is faithful. Amen. He is all the time. Amen. Did you get anything tonight? Amen. Amen. Stand up. Let's give God the praise.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.